Thank you, Janet. Asia-Pacific region is as diverse as Latin America and Europe, and in fact, it's the giant continent. On the one end, it has countries like Australia, Japan, and Korea, which are already developed, and some countries which are still developing. And the Asia-Pacific is facing a new challenge in STI, that is antimicrobial resistance. Alexander Fleming, the Nobel Prize winner for discovery of penicillin, in his Nobel lecture, he warned that it is not difficult to make microbes resistant to penicillin. And there can't be a better example for this than gonococcus. And in Thailand, 84% of isolates, and in Bhutan, 89% of isolates are penicillinase producing Neisseria gonorrhoeae, and if we include CMR, then it is 100%. Manju just informed me. So penicillin is no more a drug for gonococcus and for syndromic management. Now, why Asia-Pacific is in the heart of discussion for antimicrobial resistance? Antimicrobial resistance is a natural Darwinian process of evolution. Bacterial cells without natural resistance to drugs killed when exposed to antibiotics, but resistant cells will thrive in an environment of reduced competition. So what is happening in Asia? Asia is a hub for generic drugs. All generations of antimicrobials are available and at much lower cost than that in developed countries. So antibiotic misuse is very high, because antibiotics anybody can go and purchase, and no prescription is required for that. And that leads to accidental cure of STI. You have a viral upper respiratory tract infection and you take an antibiotic which also cures your STI. You have a minor skin infection and you take an antimicrobial. So I give you an example. In India, antenatal syphilis screening is just 12%, but incidence of congenital syphilis is only 0.6 per 1,000 live births, which is just 0.1 above the WHO definition of elimination of congenital syphilis. So it is not the public health, or it is not the government policy which led to reduction in congenital syphilis, but this widespread availability of antimicrobials. But there is a downside of it. And in Asia, infections caused by resistant bacteria kill one child every 5 minutes. And there are a large number of superbugs have evolved in Asia. For example, New Delhi metallo-beta-lactamase 1, that is a Klebsiella pneumoniae, which is originated in India. And then gonococcal ceftriaxone resistance originated in Western Pacific region, quinolone resistance in South and Southeast Asia. So coming to STIs in Asia Pacific, STIs are often treated by healthcare workers and often not by practitioners or medical practitioners or physicians. And therefore, syndromic management is widely used, because there are not enough diagnostic tests are not available everywhere. And now point of care tests are coming up, but this progress is very slow. And over-treatment is preferred over no treatment. And oral drugs are preferred over injectable drugs, because often doctors are not giving the drugs. And unscientific apprehension about anaphylactic reactions to injectable penicillin. The anaphylactic reactions as such are very rare with penicillin, but the phobia is widespread. And comprehensive quality assured local antimicrobial resistance data are lacking in majority of the settings. The ideal treatment strategy for management of STI is to use a single agent that is effective when given orally and as a single dose, and that has few or no side effects. You know, it is as difficult, maybe more difficult than getting a good spouse. And it is often presumed that patient who has come to the clinic will not return for test of cure. And that is the case in several countries. So in India, the National AIDS Control Organization has introduced the different color-coded kits for each syndrome, so that it is easy to recognize that which kit to be given to the patient. And like here, you can see that these kits are displayed on the wall of a clinic of a generalist or general practitioner. And among these kits, there is urethral discharge kit, which is which contains azithromycin 1 gram and cefixime 400 milligram. There is genital ulcer disease non-herpetic kit, which gives benzethine penicillin 2.4 million unit and azithromycin 1 gram state, but nobody uses this because it is the benzethine penicillin. Then genital ulcer disease kit which, for those patients who are allergic to penicillin, and everybody uses this kit. This kit contains doxycycline 100 milligram for twice daily for 14 days and azithromycin 1 gram state. And then there is a kit for pelvic inflammatory disease or lower abdominal pain in women, and that contains cefixime, metronidazole and doxycycline. So gonococcus, you can see here that gonococcus is part of several syndromes that include urethral discharge, vaginal discharge, lower abdominal pain, neonatal ophthalmia and scrotal swelling. Now they are still following this recommendation that ceftriaxone, many countries, ceftriaxone and azithromycin, or cefixime and azithromycin. So already dual drug therapy is in practice for several years in Asia and Pacific region. The only thing is that in place of ceftriaxone, it is invariably cefixime oral dose. Now coming to the lower abdominal pain in women, it is again doxycycline is given and azithromycin is not given in this. Doxycycline is given for lower to cover the cover chlamydia, but this leaves ceftriaxone alone in these patients for gonococcus. So we have to devise a regime of azithromycin for patients with lower abdominal pain, women with lower abdominal pain, in place of doxycycline. So we have to find out an equivalent dose of doxycycline for 14 days for azithromycin. Now coming to the challenges in this discharge, or where gonococcus is a part. Now multi-drug resistance in gonorrhea is rapidly evolving, and effectiveness of single dose antibiotic is challenged, and high level resistance to penicillin, tetracycline and ciprofloxacin is already there, so these drugs are useless, and oral cefixime is no longer considered as first line of therapies in several parts of the world, and reports of cefuroxime resistance has come up in Sri Lanka, and there is decreased susceptibility to ceftriaxone in several Western Pacific region, and resistance to azithromycin is also emerging, and there are reports of strains resistant to both ceftriaxone and azithromycin from China. So this is Manju Bala's data, which shows that this ceftriaxone less susceptible strains are increasing in number, and this map I like from data from WHO, and here we can see that Western Pacific countries are having high percentage of these blue bars represent ceftriaxone resistance, decreased susceptibility, and 21, 25 and 31% strains in China, Korea and Indonesia are having less susceptible to ceftriaxone. And there are certain countries which are having azithromycin antimicrobial susceptibility data, and that shows that 3% of strains in some places are resistant to azithromycin. So what to be done? Azithromycin is a synergistic combination with extended spectrum cephalosporins, so that should be a part that is already a part of it. But tetracycline should be removed from the treatment of chlamydia in syndromic management. Particularly, it is still there in lower abdominal pain or pelvic inflammatory disease. Now, oral cefixime should be replaced with injectable ceftriaxone in spite of operational difficulties. And if injectable drug is not possible, then cefixime dose should be doubled, like some recommendation in Canada. And in Western Pacific region, double dose of 500 milligram of injection ceftriaxone should be considered. Just one quick comment about the genital ulcer disease. And here, azithromycin makes part of it, because benzethine penicillin, there is a phobia among physicians and healthcare practitioners about its allergic reaction or hypersensitivity reaction. So azithromycin 2 gram single dose is often given for genital ulcer. Now, already 84% of Treponema pallidum samples harbored the mutation in Sydney, and there is no data in other Asian countries. And there is another issue in this, because chancroid is almost eliminated from all parts of Asia, and this azithromycin is given in genital ulcer to cover chancroid. Now, do we really need to give azithromycin here? Because this is unnecessary exposure to unnecessary use of azithromycin in this setting. So we should consider dropping azithromycin, or we should start surveillance for chancroid and find out whether we still need azithromycin in genital ulcer disease. That's it. Thank you very much.